Welcome to the New Covenant Christian Community Church podcast. Join us as Pastor Jack and other NC4 staff challenge us with a message from God's Word.
We continue our series this week. We're in week two of our series, A Simple Christmas. Pastor Jack started us off last week. And this week I have my husband, Barry. He's joining me to team up in this message. And I believe we were asked to do this because of experience in the subject today. The pregnancy of Christmas. We know a few things about pregnancy. So Barry's going to start us off in prayer.
Good morning, Lord. We thank you so much for today, for this season of expectancy, of joy, of peace on earth, of you coming to earth, Lord, as our Savior. We praise you, we worship you. And God, we thank you that you're birthing within each of us your promise. And Lord, you want us to protect it. You want us to be obedient. Lord, we ask that you would anoint us, that we'd be able to speak your words, not just our own words. And Lord, that each of us here would be changed because of what you have to say. In Jesus' name, amen.
At the end of our message today, Pastor Jack had mentioned this already, we are going to pray for all the pregnant ladies here today and any who want to be pregnant but have had trouble getting pregnant. We're going to pray for you as well. Barry and I, we have had the pleasure of experiencing 9 pregnancies. 4 of those babies are in heaven with Jesus. That was a very difficult time for us. And then that 3rd miscarriage, that was the hardest time for me. And in the midst of that darkness, God sent a pastor, and he prayed for us as we were going through the difficulty and the miscarriage itself. And he says to us, God is going to give you a baby. And he stops and says, no, he's giving you several babies. And so I held on to that promise. And today I have 5 children, and the oldest is almost 20. And our youngest is almost 13. Wow. So God has blessed us. And because he has blessed us with such breakthrough in the area of being able to carry a baby and to raise them, we have seen so many couples that we've prayed for actually been able to have that same breakthrough. The first time we were in med school, and this couple that we were friends with, they had tried for years and couldn't get pregnant. And as we were praying, I felt the power of God come upon us. And I knew in that moment, that couple was going to have a baby. And they did. And then God revealed in a dream. He showed me in a dream they would go on to have twins. And that happened as well. And today they have 4 children. And then there's another couple here in the valley we had prayed for as well. And they had spent tens of thousands of dollars trying to get pregnant. And the doctors had finally told them there's nothing more that we could do. So Barry, he said, we'll pray for you, my whole family. So we videoed our family praying for them, sent them the video. 2 weeks later, they got pregnant. Today, they have 3 children. So God loves us to be fruitful and to multiply. Isn't that awesome? Yeah, praise God. Our title for this morning's message is A Baby Changes Everything. Isn't that true? For everybody in here who has experienced the joy of being able to be pregnant and have a child, boy, does the baby change everything. 2,000 years ago, more than that actually, a baby came and gave new meaning to those words. He truly changed everything for the good for all who would believe in him. Jesus came as a newborn baby, entering the lives of ordinary people, and the results were extraordinary. And he does that to us today. Jesus enters into our ordinary lives, us ordinary people, and the results are extraordinary. He desires for us, each one of us, to carry his promises, to hold on to those promises and see those promises birthed through us to bring a blessing to the world. Just like Mary held on to Jesus in her womb and carried him until the appropriate time, we do the same. So today, Barry's going to give the male perspective of pregnancy, and I'm going to share the female perspective. Of all the ways that Jesus could have made his entrance into this earth he created, he chose to come in the most unassuming way. As Pastor Jack said last week, it was a very unadorned event, very simple indeed. Phil Yancey, he says it like this: unimaginably, the maker of all things, he shrank down, 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 so small as to become an ovum, a single fertilized egg, barely visible to the naked eye. An egg that would divide and redivide until a fetus took shape, enlarging cell by cell inside a nervous teenager. To rescue us, God became man. And what's more, he entered this world in the same way any man does, as a tiny baby. This was a plan so simple, it seems foolish to the wisdom of this world. Why would the God of the universe come in such a vulnerable way? I wrestled with that question as I was preparing. God, why would you choose to do that? Why not come as a fully grown man? You know, with all your strength and power ready to be revealed. He came as a child, as an infant. And the Holy Spirit led me back to Genesis 3. And in Genesis 3, that's where God's proclaiming his judgment against Adam, Eve, and serpent, because Adam and Eve really blew it. You know, they had listened to the serpent and ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And in that moment, their relationship with God would be forever broken and changed. This required something that only God could fix. So in the middle of judgment, as God's pronouncing these words of judgment, we see mercy. The first prophetic promise is spoken in these verses. In verse 15 of Genesis 3, God's talking to Satan, and he says to him, I will put hostility between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. And that word seed is offspring. Her seed is talking about Jesus here. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel. This, of course, is speaking to what takes place at the cross when Jesus suffers and dies so that our relationship can be born or can be restored. That promise birthed hope in mankind from the get-go. Adam recognized it right away. He knew in those words there was hope. That's why he named Eve, gave her the name Mother of the Living. He recognized that a Savior would come through the woman. Coming as a baby, this made him the perfect Savior, the perfect mediator that we needed. By growing up and going through all the stages, all the temptations, all the trials that come through every stage of life, he would be able to empathize with us in our weakness. And what's more, because Jesus is fully God, he was the only one who could restore what was broken, could restore what we could not. Of course, Satan, he would do everything in his power to try to stop the advancement of that plan of God. He did everything. But no plan of Satan will ever stop God's hand, ever. This is no contest. It's not a power struggle between God and Satan. God has all power. Satan is limited. We need to get that in our brains. If we're trusting in an all-powerful God, he will accomplish his purpose in us and through us. Satan is limited. God is not. A.W. Tozer, he says it like this: God is moving. He's moving with infinite wisdom and perfect precision of action. No one can dissuade him from his purposes. Nothing will turn him aside from his plans. So all throughout the Old Testament, we see that God sovereignly weaves his plan into the lives of everyday, ordinary people. From Adam and Eve to Sarah and Abraham, Noah, Joseph, Moses, Esther, Daniel, all of their lives, he's watching over them to accomplish his word. Through floods and famine, through barren wombs, dysfunctional families, through death, and even the threat of annihilation, God protected his people so that they could carry that seed and that so his son could be born at the perfect time for all of mankind. What a plan. God is amazing that he would include us in that plan. That is amazing. So Jesus came as a baby to grow up, to die for us. He provided a way. He bridged the relationship, that gap between us and God, so that we can be fully restored to him. And now everyone here listening online and all across the earth who call upon Jesus as your Savior, we are now commissioned by him to continue that work. We are his hands and his feet. And it's through his Holy Spirit working through us to see the deeds of Satan crushed under our feet as we go throughout and fulfill his purposes in our lives, carrying the promises that he puts in our hearts, a unique promise that you alone were designed to carry. And he accomplishes that as we unite our hearts with him, remaining in him. What promise has he spoken over you? What do you carry that is a gift from him, spoken and received by faith? I remember one promise spoken to me when I was the children's ministry director here. And when I received it, it was something I didn't even think to ask for, but it involved all of the children who were in our Sunday school program, every single one of them. And so I said, okay, God, I agree with that word. 2 days later, somebody came and they prophesied over me the exact words that God had spoken to me. So that was a word I received and I carry. And moms and dads, I still to this day will pray for your kids like they're my own because of that promise. And I will continue to do so. It is my responsibility to carry that until it is birthed, till I see that come to pass. And I know he's going to do it because he confirmed it. So let's look at the scripture to gain wisdom in the area of how to carry God's promises. The angel Gabriel, he was sent to the Virgin Mary. She was a young teenager, caught her off guard with his greeting. And in verse 31, he says to her, "You will conceive and give birth to a son. You will call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." There are so many prophetic words fulfilled in this. Verse 34, Mary asked the angel, "How can this be, since I have not been intimate with a man?" And the angel replied to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." This verse here stuck with me so much yesterday. I couldn't escape the words spoken here. The Holy Spirit and his power. That is how he accomplished his purposes in the world today. The Holy Spirit within us, his power working through us. That is God working to see that his will is done and his kingdom has come here on earth as it is in heaven. "Therefore, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Verse 36, "And consider your relative Elizabeth. Even she has conceived a son in her old age, and this is a sixth month for her who is called childless. For nothing will be impossible with God." I'll say that one more time. "For nothing will be impossible with God." The promises of God always come with that element of impossibility, which requires us to be dependent upon him to see them fulfilled. We must realize we can do nothing apart from Jesus. It is by abiding in him, remaining in his love, that we are able to carry and birth those promises. We cannot do it in our own strength. We have to rely upon him. It is impossible apart from God. Verse 38, "I am the Lord's slave," said Mary. "May it be done to me according to your word." And then the angel left her. He got his answer that he went to get for, and he went back. When it comes to birthing the miraculous, God is looking for yielded vessels who carry his promises no matter the cost. Mary considered herself a slave to the purposes of God. She looked at her life as belonging to God alone. She was his servant on this earth to fulfill a most sacred purpose. What an honor to be called of God, to be chosen to do something so unique, but it would cost her. She was willing to lay aside her dignity, her reputation, her body, in order to be used by God. And that's what he's looking for today. Are you willing to carry the promises, even though it might cost you, even though it might inconvenience you? Let me show you a video here. It's an MRI of a baby inside the womb and the movements. And wait for it. This child is stretching the mother in such a way. That's what happens inside the womb. There's a stretching that takes place, whether you like it or not. You are going to be stretched. Your body's not just your own anymore. You're housing something precious. So those little inconveniences that we encounter, the pains, the aches, the nausea, all of those are part of the package. But it's so worth it. For any mother and father, especially the mothers who've gone through it, they say the joy of being able to have the children, to carry that child to birth, is so worth it. You forget about the pain and the little inconveniences. Mary yielded herself completely to God, and though it cost her greatly, she rejoiced because God had showed her incredible favor. Her eyes would witness the impossible. She would experience God as no other human in history has ever done. And Joseph, he would play an important role in the life of Mary and Jesus. Barry's going to talk to us about that.
So, a baby changes everything, right? If you've had children. I know a thing or two about that, both professionally and personally. Delivered a lot of babies. Got to deliver my last child. I more caught him than delivered him, but he was number 5. He was pretty easy. But from residency to family, little experience with helping moms as they were pregnant and then delivering. I remember in California, Bakersfield, California, as a medical student, if you speak Spanish, you know what I'm saying. Empuje mama, uno, dos, tres, cuatro, and keep going. So these Mexican mothers, as they delivered their babies, and oh, the joy on their faces. I loved delivering babies so much, and I almost became an OB-GYN or an obstetrician gynecologist. My brother said, are you crazy? He goes, you'll spend all your time with other people's families and not your own. So through my time, because every medical student tries to figure out what they want to do, and I decide, all right, I'm going to look for something else. So I did. But I remember Delana when she was pregnant for the first time. Let me go back a little bit. Years before, we're driving along and we're talking, and I said something about wanting to have 6 children. Delana just reminded me. I forgot I said that. And what I didn't know is she almost jumped out of the car when I said that. Since then, she's come around. In fact, she even said we could have a 6th child if I carried it. I remember when she was pregnant and the fears, and if you're a father, because I'm bringing that perspective like Joseph, if you remember as a father, sometimes it's scary. And I remember those fears, and we didn't make a lot of money, and I was thinking about how am I going to provide? How am I going to get insurance to provide for the family? Am I going to be a good dad? Am I going to be a good husband? And one verse I've held on to for years in the midst of fears is in Mark 5:36. It's not up there, but that's where Jesus says to Jairus, he says, don't be afraid, just believe. And I've had to whisper that to myself many times through the years. Why don't you do that with me? Don't be afraid, just believe. If you get to a point when you're so scared and you don't know what to do, don't be afraid, just believe. Well, as we go on, and a few months later, ironically, on ambulance. I was training on an ambulance, and I received this call, and Delaina was having a miscarriage, and I couldn't get there in time because of distance. So my younger brother, he had to come and take her quickly to the hospital, and we end up losing that baby, and then as you heard Delaina say, we lost a few more. During those times, they were tough, but then Delaina got pregnant again, and then the fears came. Will she be able to, will we have a baby? Here I wanted six, and now we're wondering, will we have any children? I came from a big family. She came from a big family. She did everything. She read all the books, What to Expect When You're Expecting, that I think is about 10,000 pages. Not quite that many, but it's a lot of pages if you've read those books. Delaina did everything. Eat this, not eat this. Don't do this, do this, you know. Eat some fish for the brain of the baby, you know. Even I don't think she did too much because she doesn't like fish. But it was tough. Actually, I remember coming home and being, I'd say, I would like such and such. I'd like spaghetti. And she'd be like, oh, because she got nauseous for about 6 months through every pregnancy. I couldn't mention what I wanted, and I couldn't ask her if she would like, would you like lasagna? Because then, I make her nauseous. So I would just have to say, what would you like? Smarter than I look. But those were tough times. She's trying to do everything she can. We're trying everything to do we can to keep these babies. We had no idea why we kept losing babies. The doctor, good guy, later diagnosed Delaina, found out she had this blood clotting disorder, and which meant she had to take blood thinners. She had to give herself shots. Actually, I had to help give shots for the first several weeks to months. I helped. That was kind of rough because it was there was a period during the summer, so I had to help her give shots in her back of her arms and her belly, so she couldn't wear too many tank tops or t-shirts because then people would think I was beating my wife. So, what's that? Yes, because the bruises that were on, not because I was beating my wife. Just to clarify, but the bruises from the heparin, from all those places. No, those were tough, right? You're thinking, oh, that seems kind of rough. Maybe some of you have experienced those kind of things. But can you imagine what Mary and Joseph went through? Maybe not physical things necessarily. Mary certainly experienced some physical things. But Joseph's belly didn't get all big. He probably wasn't nauseous. But he went through some other difficulties. You know, Joseph, as any father back then and today, he wanted to be a good dad. He wanted to be a good husband. I'm sure he was scared of the future of being all those things. God created him, just like he created all the fathers here, to be loving, to protect. And so he was looking forward to all those things. And then all of a sudden, something happened. I don't know if he saw the little bulge or then how he found out. The Bible doesn't tell us, but it was interrupted. Didn't go exactly like he planned. Those are good times to say, don't be afraid, just believe. But guess what? It was part of God's plan. If you've done anything in life and you have some years behind you, you know it doesn't always go the way you planned. But the nice thing is we can remember that it's always part of God's plan. So we don't have to worry so much. Easier said than done sometimes. So what happened for him is he finds out his fiance was pregnant with a child and not his own. You know, sometimes I'm sure he probably knew about this verse, and sometimes we have to remind ourselves of that verse in Psalm 37:23, where it says that the righteous person's steps are ordered by the Lord, because he's probably like, what? He might even said, oy vey. But he had to remind himself, and we have to remind ourselves that a righteous person's steps are ordered by the Lord. You know, God chose Joseph for a specific purpose. He didn't know it yet until the angel came, but God chose him for a specific purpose, and that was to protect his promise. And that was Jesus, the Messiah. Now, why was he able to do this? Why was he able to, and why was he chosen to carry out the purposes of God? Well, the scripture shows us, gives us two reasons why God chose him. Number one is found in Matthew 1:19. Scripture says in Matthew 1:19 that he was a righteous man and he was a gracious man. Joseph, he desired to follow God's law. You might say, well, what do you mean? What does that have to do with it? Well, Joseph knew what God's law said and he wanted to obey God, but he couldn't marry an adulterous woman. And that's what he thought Mary was. So he had to divorce her. The question is, how would he do it? I was struck by the love in this chapter. I read it many times and read some commentaries, but I was saying, God, what are you trying to say? And I was struck by the theme of love in this chapter. First was God's love for mankind, that he sent his own son. You know, most people would send somebody else, not their own son, especially to a group of people like ourselves here on earth. But God sent his own son. He showed his love that way. But then also Joseph's love for his fiancée Mary, who he thinks cheated on him. But guess what? He did not want to publicly humiliate her. We see that in 1:19. He chose to not publicly humiliate her, and he could have. In that day and age, a public divorce trial was different than today. If you're not a lawyer, and I'm not, you see it on TV, and you see the two lawyers going back and forth. It's not a great thing even today. Remember the movies or the TV shows? Then you got the husband and the wife going at it, and I want this, and I want that. And well, when you were a fiancé back then, it was basically like you're married, and you actually had to divorce if you wanted to dissolve. Well, it wasn't that great back then either, except it wasn't lawyers, it was the Sanhedrin. So Joseph, if he wanted to have a public trial, he'd have to go before the great Sanhedrin. And then a priest would take her before the whole public, and then he would expose her. And what he did was he would tear her clothes, exposing her skin, very embarrassing, mess up her hair, and then he would tie a rope around her chest. Joseph knew this, and he decided not to do that. By choosing to divorce Mary privately, you're like, oh, he's a nice guy. He doesn't want to do that. Well, by choosing to divorce her privately, there was also some problems with that. There wasn't any great, easy decision here. See, by doing this, he was risking both his personal reputation and his family's reputation by doing it privately. As a righteous man, he was risking his reputation, but also with the Jewish community, he was risking his reputation, and there was money involved. He forfeited the financial benefit that he could receive through a public divorce. Now, remember, we don't have dowries, but they did have dowries back then, so there was a sum of money involved, and if he did a private divorce, he couldn't get that money back. But Joseph valued compassion above his own personal interest. God had found someone he could trust. Which leads us to the next reason why God chose Joseph. Number two, he was an obedient man. We see that in Matthew 1:24. The angel came, told him to take her as his wife. It says that he obeyed the Lord and he took Mary as his wife. I remember a few years ago, I did professional triathlons, and I was trying to go to the Olympics, and that was my dream since I was a little boy, to go to the Olympics. We had come back to our old church where my parents went, and we were visiting, and Brother Stewart, he was a retired pastor, and he came up and shook our hands, and he had loved on us and blessed us through the years, and he shook our hands, and he says, "So what are you doing right now?" And I told him what we were doing at that time, and I told him I was training for the Olympics, and he says, "But what is?" And so I'm kind of excited about that, you know. When you say that, people are, "Oh wow," you know. And that's not how he responded. He goes, "Barry, what has God called you to be?" And I'm like, "Oh, I feel like I'm supposed to go to the Olympics." He goes, "No, what has God called you to be?" And then I had to remember back 2 years before where I had been at an altar in Bible college, with my knee bent. Because at that time, I was trying to decide. I loved preaching. I loved God's word, and I was studying at Bible college, and I was trying to decide, am I going to go and be a pastor? Because before that, I'd felt I was supposed to be a missionary doctor, but I loved it so much, I felt like maybe I'm supposed to just go on to seminary. And I was praying and seeking God, and God says, "I want you to be a medical missionary." So I remembered back to that. So he says, "What has God called you to be?" And I said, "Well, call me to be a medical missionary." Because I'm thinking I'll put that off for a little bit. And he looks at Delana and I, little background. I didn't get in my first year of medical school. And so I said, "All right, great. This is a good time to triathlon. Had just been a new sport in the Olympics. I'm like, here's my chance." So I kind of put it aside. I'd been getting these not emails at that time, but some piece of paper in the mail saying apply to med schools, some med schools that wanted me to apply. And we're looking, and I'm thinking, oh man, so much training, and now I had a family, and Delana wasn't super excited about it either. And he looks at Delana and I, and he said, Jesus is he's asking you to say yes. So he says that to me, and then he looks to her, and he says, Jesus is asking you to say yes, too. I'm like, wow, it's like he speaks to the Lord. And he says, you know, God has a plan for you. He has a plan A, and he has a plan B. He says, plan A is obedience, because if you don't do what God says, he'll form a plan B, and God will bless you, but it won't be God's best. So I said, okay, God, I guess I don't know how this works with trying to go to the Olympics and all, but I'm going to obey you. So I applied, and I got in. And I wish I could say, you know, med school was easy, and it was just wonderful, and, you know, I hardly had to study or anything like that. You know, they say that medical students are the most stressed people on the entire planet. I would have to agree, it was pretty stressful, but I loved it. And I was so glad that I obeyed God. And not that every time is wonderful. Sometimes there's long hours. Sometimes people die. But I'm glad I was obedient. God desired, going back to Joseph, God desired someone who would listen and obey to protect his promise, the Messiah. We know a minister, his name is Dan McCollum. He's in California. And he says this about obedience. The kingdom of God advances in our lives at the speed of our obedience. Let me say it again. The kingdom of God advances in our lives at the speed of our obedience. If we come to a halt or some kind of wall in our spiritual growth, it might be wise to evaluate whether we have obeyed God in the last thing he asked us to do. You see, there's a direct correlation between obedience and promises fulfilled. And I know God has given each of us promises. Sometimes we don't know how we could fulfill them, but there's a direct correlation between being obedient and God fulfilling that promise. Matthew 2 details three more dreams. Wow, this guy got a lot of dreams that God gave Joseph to protect the promise and to fulfill his prophecy. Number one, God warned him in a dream to leave Bethlehem and flee to Egypt. That, if you remember, that's when Herod had killed all the males under 2 years of age. The second dream is God spoke to him in a dream that it was safe to go back to Egypt and return to Israel. That was after Herod had died. The angel gave him a third dream, and God warned him in a dream to, when he had told him he could go back, God gave him another dream is that, But don't go to Judea. And that was because Herod's son was now reigning. And that's when Joseph took his family to protect that promise, and he took them back to Nazareth. We all have a choice, just as Joseph did, to protect the promises of God. Remember, God enables those he has chosen. And he has chosen each of us. God might speak to each of us. He might speak to you in a dream. And it's our responsibility to obey him as Joseph did.
It amazes me that God the Father entrusted his one and only son to humans. That is incredible. But just as it's as amazing is that God the Father trusts us with his promises. He has fashioned you in such a way to be able to carry the uniqueness of that promise and to hold it and carry it until it's time for it to be birthed. We protect God's promises in our lives when we love mercy, act justly, and walk humbly with God. And that's exactly what we see in the lives of Joseph and Mary. I want to leave you with this thought. She who has believed is blessed because what was spoken to her will be fulfilled by the Lord. This was spoken by Elizabeth to Mary. This confirmed to Mary every word that the angel said. She who believed, belief is crucial to seeing that happen. Unbelief will trip us up every time. So we guard our hearts, we protect that by trusting in God, growing deeper in the knowledge of his love for us, and believing he's going to do what he said he would do. So at this time, we're going to transition into a time of prayer. So if you could please stand, everyone. First, I just want to speak a blessing, a prayer over each of us here that carry the promise of God. And for those who haven't received that promise yet, I'm going to pray your ears would be opened. God, you would hear that. And then after that, we're going to have the women come forward so we can pray for you. So if we could join together now and just humble your hearts before the Lord, closing your eyes. Lord, I thank you for choosing us, for fashioning us, for birthing something new in our lives. Lord, I speak a release of faith in this place. Faith, let it arise. As we hear your word, let us receive it. Let the hearts that have been hardened be melted by your presence. Let the cares of this world just diminish as you overwhelm us and overshadow us with your power. Lord, thank you for your very great and precious promises that are yes and amen in you. We trust you, we yield to you, and we ask you for the more. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening. For info about NC4, visit our website at www.nc4.org.